Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back. If you're new to us, I'm Sho Allegra, founder and CEO of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. Everything we do here evolves around resilience, and we're inviting new friends to the table to kind of have this conversation, learn more about who they are, and find out about their resilience journey so that we can apply some of those nuggets, the wisdom that they learn, apply that into our lives. So today I have Brian with me. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, Sho. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So we'll get started. We'll dive right in. Do you mind just sharing with the audience who you are and what you do?
Don't mind at all. So Brian Sachetta, author and owner of Get Out of Your Head, which is both a brand and a book series that seeks to help folks overcome various mental illnesses such as anxiety and depression. In terms of the specific works that I've put out, I've got two books in the mental health space, one on anxiety, one on depression. I also run a blog that kind of serves as a place for me to put my thoughts about, you know, mental health in general, different things that I'm trying out, different strategies that I've come across in my life, in my research, that sort of stuff. And then also, you know, we're trying to expand a little bit in the sense of like, if anybody's on the video feed, I've got some merch, some Get Out of Your Head merch. So trying to, build a little bit of a community there through, the books, the blog, the merch itself, and then some of these podcast appearances. So really, I like to say that I'm just a dude, right? I'm not a doctor, not a clinician, not able to treat or diagnose mental illness, but I'm somebody that I feel as though I can, you know, be with you there along your mental health journey and provide some helpful insights. I like to think of myself as somebody who has been in the trenches before and has some of the same insights that maybe somebody who's listening may be after.
Yes. So thanks for being here, and thanks for just being honest and open about it, because especially things of mental health, people don't talk about it often. And, you know, and I echo, you know, a lot of things you're saying, even, you know, those of us who kind of have that dual hat, you know, and have some clinical background. But I think what brought me to, not just I think, I know what brought me into this work is because of my own personal experience. And even when I enter a space and we'll be talking about mental health, I have no problem taking out my clinical hat and say, you know, I've been there. Because that's what helps us connect with people the most, right? And often I'll hear people even say, it's like, hey, yeah, I met with so-and-so and talk with people with degrees. Like, don't get me wrong, degrees are good, education is good. But at the end of the day, what people need the most is that people who get them from the heart, not just from the head. And
absolutely.
Then people who walk there like yourself, it's like you can connect to the heart because you know what it feels like, you know, to go for those things, you know, to be in the trenches, like you said.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that it's also important to state that, like, I think we sometimes need both of those things, right?
Oh,
it's,
true.
You know, connecting with other people and hearing about their struggles and connecting it to our own is really important. That gives us some of, I don't know, that shared humanity aspect on that side of things, which is great, makes us feel a little bit more hopeful. At the same time, right? The work that I do is not meant to replace what a mental health doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist would do. So it's, you know, it's sort of, I look at my work and the stuff that I put into the mental health sphere as a supplement to what else is out there, right? It's like, you know, we probably can't all afford to go to the psychiatrist every hour of every day. You know, there's some sort of schedule that we have to adhere to there, but you know, there's a lot of content on the internet that we can supplement those visits with, right? We can pick up some blog posts, some audiobooks, podcasts, stuff like that. So I think it's important to do both of those things and try to help ourselves heal in any way that we can.
Yeah. And actually, there's, you know, lots and lots of research out there that does prove and support the need for peers, right? You know, yes, there's clinician, yes, but especially in the mental health field and actually any field per se, it's good to get the clinical help you need, whether it's, you know, medication, whether it's therapy, but then connecting with someone who's been there. It's like, you know, just not just to share, you know, experience like you said, but it's almost like that person becomes like the navigator. You know, I attempt to hike, like not on really, you know, hard surfaces per se, but my point is even when I'm hiking, I don't know where I'm going, right? So if it's a group hike, I feel safer knowing that someone else kind of, you know, been on this path before and can guide me along the way and not just tell me, oh, here's the map, here's how you get there. I find sometimes that's what, you know, therapy does, right? Here's the map, here's the coping skills, apply it, you get there. you know, and the psychiatrist comes and is like, oh no, here's how we did the map, right? You might need a cane, you know, or it's a walking stick as you walk. And then the guy comes like, hey, well, I'll stand right beside you. We'll walk together. You might need all three, right? The map, the cane, and you know, the walking stick. But I think the person that in my life, especially the person that makes the most difference, is knowing that I'm not alone. That my experience is not, you know, I'm not the only one out there. You know, I'm not, you know, quote unquote crazy because I'm having these experiences and because I'm having these challenges. It's like, oh, this happens to others too. They're overcame, so I can overcome, right? And so I can go on and on about that, but I want you to share maybe for yourself, what was it like, you know, to make that transition? We're like, oh, I am in the trenches. Now I can help someone else. Like, what was that journey like for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, I get a little thing in my throat. I would say it was a decently long journey, and it's also one that continues. I started probably 8 to 10 years ago, I guess, you know, in some ways, right? I like to say that, or when I'm talking about my journey, I would say it really started in earnest in 2008. That was when I knew for sure that I was dealing with something important, right? I was like, this mental health stuff has sort of a large hold over me, and it's time for me to figure out what it is that I'm dealing with and try to develop some strategies, talk to the right people to help myself through it. There is a point, right, during that journey where it's like, okay, I'm like going to my appointments in secret. I don't want anybody to know that I'm dealing with these things. And I think it really is a journey in the sense that as you learn more things, you become more comfortable with yourself. You become more accepting of yourself. You are slowly, you know, starting to become a little bit more willing to share some of the things that you're going through. And for me, it was like, I guess the real sort of pivotal moment was probably in the year 2015, where I just looked back and realized that I had made a lot of progress with my own anxiety. And I felt like, you know, is something both, it was a combination of different feelings. It was like a little bit of relief, a little bit of excitement, and also a little bit of like, I like to say on some of these shows, like an irrational sense of confidence where, you know, I was a 25-year-old and I was just like very excited, very happy, where I was like, oh, I think I would probably temper it a little bit today. But at the time I was like, oh, I got this whole thing figured out, right? Let me take what I've learned and share that with folks. I would say since 2015, which is crazy, it's now 7 years ago, you know, I've still gone through some other struggles. You know, I had a year-long depressive episode that I talk about at length in my second book. And, you know, those moments sort of humble us, right? It's like, okay, when you're 25 and you're like, I got all this stuff figured out. You know, I think eventually something kind of comes down and comes down the road and slows you down a little bit or steals some of your thunder, which, you know, at the time it's definitely frustrating to deal with and whatnot. But throughout the entire journey, or at least since 2015, I've tried to look, you know, at these different struggles through the lens of how do I turn these experiences that I'm having into something positive? And a lot of that has really been like, now that I've established my brand, right? It's like, I have an outlet that I can talk about these experiences on. I could write another book. I could go on a podcast and talk about an experience. I could dedicate a blog post to it, that sort of thing. So that has been really pivotal for me in the sense that, like, you know, that keyword outlet, like I have a place that I can go and talk about these things. I think, you know, we, not only do we need social support and friends and loved ones and the caring of other people, but I think we also need a place that we can channel some of our frustration and angst and all that. And I'm on a little bit of a tangent, but I think that's another reason why, you know, physical exercise is really important for mental health, right? It's like you go for a run, you lift weights, something like that. You can take some of your fears, frustrations, despair out on the workout. And then all of a sudden you can get out of your head back into your body and you can feel like, wow, I feel a little bit better than I did before I started, that sort of thing. So overall, you know, the journey is continual. And I think it, you know, it has been a little bit of slow moving, or like one foot in front of the other, and just see where it takes me. But overall, you know, I think, you know, really attached to my mission of trying to help and serve others going through mental health struggles. And that's the lens through which I view a lot of my experiences today.
Yeah, right on. And as you're talking, I'm here nodding, you know, people watching them will get to see the video, you know, because I agree and echo everything you said. And I think it starts with that decision, like, oh, I'm not going to let this crush me. Yes, it's going to be hard. You know, it feels like you're being crushed as you're going through it. But then having that, you know, mental shift per se, a mentorship, like I am choosing to find the good in this. You know, like you said, how can I turn this something that feels negative into something positive? And once we make that shift, it's amazing how we start seeing things differently, right? And, you know, and I can't remember who said this before, but, oh, and that's gonna, it's gonna bug me. But the quote goes like this, that when we change the way we look at things, things at which we look at changes, right? So it's the same way, like if you depression happened, anxiety happened, stress, no trauma, whatever it is that comes our way, if all I'm seeing is the bad in it, that's all I'm gonna see. And that's how all I'm gonna feel about it. But when I can look and say, okay, what am I learning for this? Like I say, sometimes it humbles us a little bit. Sometimes it helps us to reach out to others, right? And but for all of that, it's like that shift first, and then it takes us to action. It sounds like that's the journey you went through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you bring up a really interesting point with the quote that you mentioned. I think I want to say that it was maybe Dr. Dyer.
There you go. I knew it was a D name. I couldn't find
it.
Popularized
that quote. I have, you know, I kind of based my second book around a similar notion, a quote that like is not my own, but one that is, I think, equally popular or similar to Dr. Dyer's. And it's that we see the world not as it is, but as we are, right? So it's like when we are depressed, we look around and we see things products of depression. And yes. I think that the challenging thing is we can set our sights on those things and say to ourselves, hey, I'm looking out the window. The world is an evil, terrible, dark place. Obviously, that's not going to lead us anywhere good. That's, you know, probably going to perpetuate our despair. The other thing that we could do, and this is super high level and not necessarily like concrete right now, we could get into some of those strategies later. But, you know, what we could do is instead of looking at, you know, the things outside of our window with the lens in which we find ourselves right now, we could try to change our own state, right? So if the quote is, we see the world not as it is, but as we are, we can try to change ourselves. And then we can go back out, look out the window and see that maybe things look a little bit different out there.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, when you're still cleaning those lenses, you know, things become just a little bit clearer on the other side, right? Definitely. Yeah, and as you're talking, what came to mind, my own journey when I was really battling with depression, you know, almost 2 decades now, but it was really hard. And like you said, I was so depressed and everything else out there just looked depressed. Like the whole world was just depressed, but it was not the word. I was feeling depressed, right? And I remember one exercise that my therapist gave me, and I still up to this day have kind of the product of that activity. She told me, Shu, just go as you're going around, just start noticing, being intentional by noticing things that are around you. You know, and we call it grounding, we call it being mindful and all of this, you know, mindfulness, all good things. But the point was, I started finding beauty around me. And I took pictures of flowers, pictures of, you know, butterflies, sometimes a picture of a painting somewhere that it could have been a road that I passed by gazillions of times, right? I never saw it. But now that I was actually forced to look for things around me, I started finding those things. And like I said, I still kept that. I took printed all those pictures, put in a little small photo album. And I actually had the first not slide, I'm so used with technology now, but the first image on there is actually just a little postcard where I wrote that, you know, the world around me is beautiful, so I am too. And that's for me, it's always been a reminder. So even now, like I said, it's been, I don't know, 18 years or so, 16 years, it's still there. I always go back to that. It's like, I can still find beauty around me. And so that, you know, that made me think of what you were saying. It's like, yeah, because when I start changing what I was looking for and looking at, then not only I felt better, but then everything else out there looks better.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love the way that you put it. It's very touching. I'm right there with you. What I want to say, I think, is, you know, the things that we're talking about, it doesn't make depression any easier to deal with, right? Like depression is hard. It's real, real hard, real difficult. I mean, in the bowels of despair, it's like, man, I don't know what to do. But I think one of the takeaways is that there is an endless amount of things that we could focus on in the world, right? At any moment, we could focus on all the terrible things out there. And I think, you know, it's like, trust us, there's no shortage of that. But there are beautiful things out there. And sometimes it's easier than at other times. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, looking for the beauty in the world, looking for the butterflies, the flowers and whatnot, we do get to decide where we place our focus. And that is a really important thing when dealing with depression. Again, not to say that it's ever easy, but that is certainly one tool that we hold at our disposal.
Yeah, so true. And so speaking of tools, you know, what are maybe some other type of people listening who are going through depression, anxiety, any mental health challenges, and sometimes even when we're going through physical challenges, it's still impacting our mind. Again, people don't talk about that often, and those things that, you know, we create platforms to, you know, people to speak about it. So for someone listening out there, it's like, oh, this all sounds good, Brian, but right now I'm finding it hard to even just get out of bed, you know, or it's good, I'm getting out of bed, I'm making it to work, but that's all I can do. I'm just, you know, checking the box of the things I must do so I can get through life. Like, what are maybe some tools, other tools you can share with them here?
Yeah. I mean, we did touch on exercise, right? I think the research shows that establishing a regular exercise program can be just as effective in the treatment of despair as psychiatric medication. Again, not to say that that should replace your medication if your doctor is recommending that you take medication, but maybe supplement with that, right? Try to, I guess, level up as much as you can, put as many of these healing modalities as you can together. I do talk about a few of the other strategies in my second book. So that's Get Out of Your Head, Volume 2, Navigating the Abyss of Depression. The one thing that I will say is that, at least for me, I have always found that anxiety is a little bit more acute than depression is, or at the very least, like, it's something that I can sometimes get myself out of quicker than depression. I feel as though, like, you know, despair is almost like this thing that just put this heavy weight that just pushes you down for a really long time. And it's like, how do I get this weight off of my back? That's really challenging. Especially when it, you know, it changes how we see the world, as we were talking about earlier. It's like, man, like I have nothing that I can look at and feel good about, or at the very least, I'm out there looking for the butterflies, and it's tough, you know? So in that light, I would say that, you know, I have more anxiety related strategies, whereas the second book that I wrote is more on the philosophical side of things in terms of like overall dealing with and approaching a depression. But at the same time, there are still a few like concrete strategies that we can apply. So exercise is one of them. There's also some research out there that shows that taking a cold shower regularly or daily can also help with depression. It's sort of this like evolutionary psychology sort of thing where, you know, the science suggests, doesn't necessarily prove, but suggests that, you know, we are hardwired to do things that promote our survival. And so our ancestors a long, long time ago, you know, they were incentivized to, you know, go on cold swims where they had to hunt fish and find food and whatnot. And so the thought is that, you know, on an internal level, we are programmed almost to enjoy cold water in the sense that like we have these cold receptors on our skin. And, you know, when cold water hits it, they send sort of a almost an antidepressant sort of feeling off to our brains. So there's some interesting research there. I would say that one is probably not for the faint of heart. I would, you know.
Because I'm saying, Brian, I can take a cold shower if I'm back home in Africa. Okay. In the middle of the winter in the US here, I'm like, no, thank you, right? So but it's good. That's good to know. That's news to me. I actually did not know about that research. I knew about the one by exercise, where actually, you know, I think one of the studies that I'm more familiar with when people, there was a group of people who did, took antidepressant every day, another group who actually exercised for 30 minutes a day, at least three times a week. And they all achieved the same level of recovery. But the difference was even that those who were exercising could, you know, were well longer. You know, they could maintain that state of wellness and well-being and happiness longer than those who are just on antidepressant. So like they were like, people could feel the antidepressant pretty much leaving the body when the levels of serotonin and dopamine were going low and they need the next pill. Like if you skip a dose, you can feel in your body. And then people were exercising, could maintain that for a longer time. So yes, take medication if your doctor prescribes it, your brain needs it. We're not saying not to do it. But like you said, supplement with exercise. And now, you know, take cold showers. Maybe something I need to practice more of as well.
Yeah. And it's tough. I mean, like you said, when it's hot out, whether you're here or in Africa, then it feels like it makes more sense. There was definitely days where I was at the gym taking cold showers in the middle of the winter. And it was like, what am I doing? But at the same time, it kind of helped, you know? And I think that when you find yourself in a dark place, you would do anything that you think would help you without, you know, in turn, bringing some negative effect to you, right? It's like, nobody would recommend that you go do hard drugs when you're depressed, right? It's like that has very negative side effects associated with it. But cold showers, it's like, yeah, you might feel cold for a little while, but you hope that you get some sort of antidepressant or at least like joy producing factor for a minute or two, something like that. So that's definitely one. And then also there's some research that shows that like omega-3s are important in our, you know, sort of like a healthy brain function. We obviously eat, you know, very processed foods and the standard American diet is sort of full of them. So I think if you look at omega-3 to omega-6 ratios, they are, you know, in the standard American diet, they are not at the right ratio. I think we're eating a lot more omega-6s than we should be. And so it's being able to supplement with omega-3s can really help our brains. I would say, given the fact that they are supplements, I would recommend that folks who are interested in that sort of thing, talk with their doctors about that before starting a regimen. So.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Those are really great tips. Really great. So hopefully people listening or watching, you know, give it a try. Talk to your doctor, obviously, before you try anything. But yeah, supplements are huge. I know some of us, you know, I speak for myself. I have a chronic vitamin D deficiency that I didn't know about until quite a few years ago. And I realized that when my vitamin D is low, literally, I will be more depressed. I'll have my mood will, you know, just go down, even when there's no reason for it. And so sometimes it's things like that, but now knowing it, for me, it's like, oh, my mood is down. What else is going on? Oh, I didn't take my vitamin D today. Right. And then there's times like right now where even with taking the daily vitamin, it's like so low that I need like a higher dose of it. That's only prescription. You can only take it once a week. And that's how my body functions. So it's good to still work with your physician, work with your medical team, you know, to figure out all these other things. And definitely there's a lot of natural things that help as well. Thank you, Brian, for sharing that. So you talked about your books, and I want you to share, how can people connect with you, where they can get those books?
Yeah, best place to find me in the books would be on my website. So that's getoutofyourhead.com. It's all one word, no dashes, no spaces. If you want to connect with me on social media, the best place at the moment, so it's July of 2022, that would be on Instagram. The handle there is also Get Out of Your Head. So no dashes, no spaces on that one. I'm pretty active on Instagram. I always encourage folks to send me a message if they want to talk about something or want to share an experience with me. I'd like to leave these, end these podcasts by saying to listeners, like, hey, if you're listening, and you're struggling with something, you're not alone, right? There's a lot of people out there that are going through the same thing you are. And, I have been one of those people, and some of the fulfilling part of the journey for me is talking to, people in the community. And I'd love to help them along in their journeys, but being able to assist them and be there for them in any way that I can, that's also very empowering and very important for me. So please reach out if you feel that you'd like to.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And yeah, definitely echoing all of that. It's like for anyone going through challenges, as you're going through that, we all need a sense of community. To know that we're not alone, to know, like I was sharing earlier, that you have that, navigator, that guide right beside you to walk with you on that journey. But also as you walk, now you know the path, then it's like, go get someone else, right? You be a navigator for someone else. And that as you do that, actually build your own resilience. And I often joke where I say the things that keep me well is the things that I do to keep others well, and being there for others, it holds me accountable and it keeps me pushing as well. So thank you, Brian. Thanks for being here today. But most importantly, thanks for, sharing all that you do, for all that you do to help others, be well.
Definitely. Thank you, Shu. It was a great conversation. Love some of your perspectives. It just great to talk it out and hear what you have to say. So thanks for having me. Best of luck.
Definitely. Well, for everyone listening, as always, be well and you are resilient.